Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this kind of foggy, cloudy, humid Saturday morning, August 17th, 2019. How are we doing this morning? Glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, and you can hear us from anywhere online at 883wppb.org. Every show is archived at annliguori.com and on podcasts everywhere. Woo! It's been quite the week. I'm excited. My mom's in town. I'm going to have a good time. Took her to lunch with the girls yesterday at the American Hotel. Just had a great time. And the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center last night had quite the party. Great fundraiser. Woodstock theme. Great band. And just really fun. We're all kind of dressed up as if it were the 60s all over again. Although I wouldn't know, because was I here in the 60s? Not that I can remember anyway. Yeah, I was. But what a fun party. Lots going on. Hope you're having a great one so far. Right now it's 72 degrees, cloudy. The humidity is 95%. The hair. Well, today, and I hope the weather holds out, today the Artist Writers Charity Softball Game takes place. The 71st annual Artists Writers Charity Softball Game. And I play it in every year. I have my sneakers on, got my golf shirt on. I couldn't find my mitt. That's not good. Tells you how much I play softball. But, I'll borrow somebody's mitt. Somebody will give me a mitt. But a lot of times I pinch run. And I've scored a couple times throughout the many years I've played in this game. And it's just so much fun. I mean, I love to play in it, soak in the fun, the great atmosphere, help raise money for charity, and just be a part of what's really become such, a big part of the East End every summer. It's very historic. This year, the game benefits East End Hospice, Phoenix House, New York, Long Island, East Hampton Daycare. Guild Hall is a presenting sponsor. It takes place in Herrick Park in East Hampton. Pat Domingo of Hot Bench. My buddy Pat, she's going to be throwing out the first pitch at 3 p.m. Batting practice starts at 1:30. And this morning, Juliet Papa, who will be the Master of Ceremonies, she's going to join us. And she's been involved with this game for a long time. She's on the board, and I'm sure she'll have some great stories to share with us about this long-standing tradition here in the Hamptons. Juliet is an award-winning reporter for 1010 Winds, the most listened-to station in the nation. And she'll also be in the broadcast booth for the Artist Writers Charity Softball Game. And so she'll join us at the bottom of the hour. And before Juliet, Michael Fiedler, longtime photographer who put together a beautiful coffee table book. And I'm honored to be in this book. It's called Working Journal, a photographic and handwritten chronicle by Michael J. Fiedler. And basically, he selected a variety of people for this book, took our portraits while we worked, and then asked us to write answers to a couple questions. And each chapter features a different person from really all walks of life, a really interesting collection of people. And then we write in our own handwriting, which in my case is not pretty. We basically answered his questions, and I think the first question was, what do you do for a living? And it's just one page, so we had to keep it pretty short and sweet, but the handwriting styles are so different, and the stories are so different, and it's just a fascinating idea. And I know there are several people in this book from the East End of Long Island who are featured. So we'll talk with Michael Fiedler in a few minutes to talk to him about, how he put this book together, who he chose in the book, why. And he's just a beautiful portrait photographer. He basically came to my house and got me at work in my office while I was doing a show on the headphones, microphone, etc. And of course, Skyman, gorgeous, my beautiful golden retriever. He was all over the place. Unfortunately, he did not get into the photo. I'm surprised because he was there. But then we hit some balls in the backyard on the putting green, and Sky ran after every golf ball and prevented it from going into the hole, you know, that kind of thing. But we had a good time, really engaging guy, Michael Fiedler. So we'll visit with him in a second. But first, let's go over some of the top stories. This was an interesting story, and I didn't realize it was happening so fast, but the Brooklyn Nets and the Barclays Center are being sold to Joe Tsai, I think is how you pronounce his name, T-S-A-I, the co-founder of Alibaba Group. It's a Chinese e-commerce giant, and he's buying it for about $3.4 billion, the AP reported yesterday. Tsai already had purchased the WNBA's New York Liberty, and this whole purchase is a record sale for any U.S. sports franchise. And he already had purchased 49% of the team from Russian billionaire Mikhail Prohorov in 2018 with the option to become controlling owner in 2021. And instead, he pushed up the timeline for full ownership of a team on the rise after signing superstars Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in July. So terms were not disclosed, but those familiar with the matter told the AP that Tsai is paying about $2.35 billion for the Nets and nearly $1 billion in a separate transaction for the arena. The deal is expected to be completed by the end of September and is subject to approval by the NBA's Board of Governors. On the PGA Tour at Medina, outside of Chicago, in this FedEx Cup playoffs, Hideki Matsuyama made 5 birdie putts from 15 feet or longer, broke the course record at Medina with a 9-under-63. He has a one-shot lead going into this weekend. He started his second round with a 30-foot birdie putt. He ended the round with a 30-foot birdie putt. Pretty good stuff. Tiger shot his second straight 71, which puts him tied for 48th place at 2-under. He needs a top 10 finish to advance to the Tour Championship, and he said he left quite a few shots out there. Matsuyama, he was 12 under. He's 12 under overall for at 132, one shot ahead of Patrick Cantlay, who shot a 67. Tony Finau shot a 66. Justin Thomas made 6 birdies, 3 bogeys in his round of 69, and Thomas is 2 shots back. So Cantlay, Finau, and Thomas are all assured of being among the top 30 who will advance to the Tour Championship next week, where everyone in the field will have a shot at winning the FedEx Cup and the $15 million prize. Unbelievable. All right. In tennis, Naomi Osaka, the defending U.S. Open women's champion, she retired from her quarterfinal match at the Western and Southern Open yesterday with a knee injury. The number one ranked female tennis player in the world. She's expected to get an MRI, and rightly so. She is concerned about her chances of playing well at the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open starting a week from Monday. I will be out there for my 37th straight U.S. Open Tennis Championship and each of the Saturday weekend shows from the U.S. Open will be broadcast from there here on WPPB Sports Interview. The Royals beat the Mets 4-1. Yankees edge Cleveland 3-2. And those are your sports headlines. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk to Michael J. Fiedler, the author of Working Journal. And I can't wait to get his take on some of these fascinating personalities in the book. Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria is brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and My Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. That's Dune, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com. and by Peak Vision Sunglasses. PEAK Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity. Change your game, peakvision.com. And by Beconning Bay Medical Center, the Eastern Hub for the world-class resources of New York's largest healthcare system, Northwell Health. Beconning Bay Medical Center, serving a 250,000 East End residents. Learn more at pbmchealth.org. And a shout out to Cecilia Liguori, who's in town, Mama listening right now, and Laura. So glad you're here in the Hamptons. We'll be back. All tied up, no more love, and I'd hate to see you waiting. They say it's all been done, but they haven't seen the best of me. So I got one more run, and it's gonna be a sight to see. Had to have high hopes for a living, shooting for the stars when I couldn't make a killing. Didn't have a dime, but I always had a vision.
What qualities do you think make a really good leader?
If they keep the peace and keep everybody happy and bring harmony to the group, that's the ones that they really like in chimpanzee society.
What we can learn from animals, that's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Listen to TED Radio Hour Sundays at noon at 88.3 WPPB Peconic Public Broadcasting.
Ed German's hand-drawn pastel portraits of Miles Davis, Aretha Franklin, Thelonious Monk, Nina Simone, and Frank Sinatra, plus 15 more, are on display at Cave au Vent in New Haven, Connecticut, through the beginning of October. Proceeds from sales will benefit WPPB. Information available at info@jazzhaven.org.
365 days a year, WPPB is working for you on the air and on our website. WPPB has a helpful community calendar on our site. Just go to 883WPPB.org to the Community Calendar tab and tell us about your activity or event. It's free, easy, and fast. WPPB is the voice of the community, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, on the air and online. Spread the word about your community events. Go to 883WPPB.org. One more time, we're gonna celebrate. Oh yeah, all right, don't stop the dancing. One more time, we're gonna celebrate. Oh yeah, all right, don't stop the dancing.
Little Daft Punk, Kyle. Just trying to wake me up on this Saturday morning. Woo! Gonna start dancing here in the studio any second now. But anyway, welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. Glad you can join us, where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. You can hear us from anywhere online at 883WPPB.org. And each show turns into a podcast and is archived at AnnLiguori.com. And joining me this morning, live from Connecticut, Michael J. Fiedler, photographer, photojournalist. The book is called Working Journal, and I'm so delighted to say good morning to you. How are you, Michael?
How's my favorite subject? How are you?
Great to have you on, and it was good to visit with you the other day. Michael took the ferry over from Connecticut, came to the East End of Long Island. You have a variety of people from the East End in this book.
Yeah, exactly. Working Journal is, for those that don't know, it's a documentary of my fascination of what people do for work. As a photojournalist, I just kind of like to take pictures of people, and a lot of it has to do with also my fascination of handwriting, which is very indicative of people's styles and personality traits. So it's a good combination of the both worlds,
really. Of your passions. And I will get into who's in the book from the East End of Long Island in a second, but you started as a naval photojournalist, correct? Aboard the aircraft carrier, the Dwight D. Eisenhower.
That's right, yeah. Well, I was always artistic and just kind of fell into photography when I was in the Navy. And I was on one of the biggest ships that the Navy has. There were 6,000 guys on the ship. And one of my jobs was to take pictures of what people did on the ship. So it kind of set a course for me for being fascinated by what people's occupations are and documenting them in film. So sure. Yeah.
And then you had this fascination with pens after your mother gave you a pen. Your mother was a very intense journal writer, correct? She wrote a diary for many, many years.
She did. You know what? And she passed about 3 years ago, but I still have them. And I have all of her diaries, and I remember her writing. And when I went to the Navy, she gave me a little diary, and I got into the habit of writing every day. It started in, 1987? And fast forward, I haven't missed a day in, 33 years?
Oh, my goodness.
There's 80 volumes of diaries, and it's almost up to 20 million words at this point, if you counted them. So,
is this a therapeutic exercise? Has it become something that if you don't recount the day in this diary that you feel weird because you do it every day?
Absolutely.
When do you do it at night?
No, you know what? I'm a morning person. I'll have my coffee. My thoughts are fresh. I'll write stuff down. I'll recap things. I'm a big sports fan. So when Tiger won in April, I had to run out and get all the newspaper clippings and paste them into my book and write it down.
Oh wow! Really? So it's more than your writing. You basically are cutting and pasting articles in this.
It's
like a scrapbook.
Yeah, it's a real fancy scrapbook with a lot of writing in it. So,
are you going to publish this sometime, someday, perhaps?
Yeah, the content is there. Maybe if someone is ever interested in what I had to say, so sure. I mean, it's over a quarter century now of writing, and it came at a very interesting time. I mean, when I started writing, there was no internet, there was no cell phones, it was just, and now we're at the stage where everything has come fast forward, but writing is still a huge element of how I express myself, and maybe someone in the future will be interested in it, I don't know.
Well, this book, Working Journal, just came out, and Diana DeLucia helped you produce it. It's a beautiful, beautiful book, but as everybody has their own writing style, we all wrote. Now, I don't have great handwriting, I'll tell you that right now. I can read it.
Right.
I can read my writing, thank goodness, but there are some people in this book where, the writing's a little, some of the writing's beautiful, but some of the people who you have writing, it's very hard to, but everybody has their own style, right?
I can't tell you the amount of people that I interview and have do the writing. They always say, oh, I have the worst handwriting, or, oh, you won't be able to read it. But if you look at the book, you just kind of glean this idea of each person has a tactile way of approaching a blank piece of paper. And the fact is, you don't always have to read every word. I look at handwriting on a blank piece of page as like a canvas, and it's like it's somebody's personal expression through a way of communication that goes through the centuries. I mean, it's not you're not typing it; you're writing it by hand. It's kind of a lost art, and it's wonderful to see in the book how each person touches the page differently.
You're absolutely right. It is a lost art. I remember I used to take copious notes and, when I was in high school and college and, my notebook and highlight everything. And now, everything's done.
Right.
Everything's done, on your laptop or on a keyboard,
And or with two thumbs on your phone.
That's exactly, I know. Can you believe it? How far we've digressed, I guess.
Yeah.
In many ways, progress, but many other ways, just the opposite.
But what's old is new, and things come back in style. And one of the things that fascinates me about writing is I'm a big fountain pen collector. I go to fountain pen shows, and I'm seeing young people there because they're wanting to find out about this way that they can, you know, do handwriting in an artistic way that is, it's almost like a novelty to them. Just like, you know, typewriters are back in style. I mean, it goes without saying that records are back in style. Everybody wants to buy vinyl now. So, yeah, it's kind of a throwback, but people are interested in it nowadays. And I think the book kind of speaks to that because everyone has a chance to write with their own handwriting with the pen on a piece of paper. And I can't tell you the amount of times that after I photograph somebody, they will look at me and say, that was really cool. I haven't done that in a long time. Or it was really interesting to express myself with just a piece of paper and a pen, because people don't take the time to do that nowadays. And the book kind of celebrates that.
I still have my dad's classic typewriter in my office. I just love that. I mean, I don't know, you know, how it was just, you know, back then, you know, it took so much time because if you made a mistake, you had to go back and, you know, and correct it with, I don't know, one of the...
Well, the whiteout.
The whiteout, or even before whiteout. What did they do before whiteout? They had those little strips, right?
Yeah, and you have to put it in the typewriter and then go back. Yeah, I mean, how did we even complete a document back then? It's crazy.
But they're works of art, these typewriters, you know, these just classic typewriters. And they make such cool artistic pieces, too, just to look at. But so tell us the process. You know, I'll use, you know, when you came to my house as an example, we sat down. First of all, we had you're very personable, so it's so easy to get to know you and feel comfortable with you, right? And then just talk about the process about how, you know, you gave me the questions and then I wrote on, you had this nice little pad that I wrote on, and then you took the picture. You're a portrait photographer, so we set that up. Talk about the process of doing the book.
Well, you know, the whole process, like we've talked about, it stems from my fascination with handwriting, but also photography. But some of your listeners may remember the name Studs Terkel. He was a famous author from Chicago. He wrote a book in 1974 called Working. And basically, it was an anthology of the different jobs that people do. And these were the types of people that I would meet at the newspapers that I was working at as a daily newspaper photographer. The mayor, a baseball coach, police officer, a nurse, a pharmacist, a fishmonger, a security guard. And I just thought their stories were fascinating, and I just wanted to let them tell their own story. So what the book is all about is me spending a couple of hours with somebody, like yourself, Anne, who's a sports radio talk show host, and I'm wondering, what's it like to do that? In fact, that could have been the name for the book. It like to do that?
Exactly. That's your sequel.
Right. Yeah. It could be the sequel. So to your question, I'm at your house. I'm looking at all your sports stuff. I'm fascinated about, you know, how you have met all these people, these sports figures, the interviews that you've done, the process of your work, and taking a portrait of you in your studio when you're doing a sports program and then having you write about it. That's my vibe. I mean, that to me is a wonderful way to process the things that make the world meaningful to me.
You came to the house a couple of days ago. You met my mom, Cecilia.
Yeah, mom,
give mom a shout out because she's listening as we
speak. Hey, mom, fantastic. Hey there, how are you? I know you're listening, and yeah, it was great meeting her. You guys are great together.
Cecilia,
fantastic.
She's my inspiration, my champion. So you came to town. You went to Shelter Island, and Marie Eiffel, who owns a restaurant on Shelter Island, is actually the first chapter in your book. Talk a little bit about Marie, because she has an incredible story.
Marie is fantastic. She's from Paris. She is an amazing cook. She knows food. If you get the book, you can read a little bit about the hardships that she overcame. She was in a car accident. She overcame a lot. I mean, she really almost passed away. And she just rebuilt herself. She came to Shelter Island, and she's an institution there now. She has this amazing restaurant, And if you see her picture in the book, there's a vibrancy about her, and just spending a couple of hours with her in her kitchen and letting her tell her story, just a wonderful experience. So
your photograph of her is incredible. I mean, I don't know her, but I feel like I know her just by looking at this gorgeous picture of this woman, and as you say,
so
vibrant,
yeah,
expressive, and just full of love. You can see that. And she said when she went through her very serious car accident, she said she saw the light, and it obviously just totally changed her. And she's this big success story. And I go to Shelter Island frequently, so I'm gonna, next time I go to Shelter Island, I'm going to say hello.
She's a great lady. The food at her place is amazing. And my book is for sale at her place. And she's on the cover. And she'll probably sign it for you if you buy one.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah, Marie is great. She's top-notch. Great lady.
You got Marie. You got a shoe shiner. You got an airline captain, a woman for Southwest Airlines. You got a beekeeper. Talk about John Carson, who's the beekeeper. He takes care of bees at Sabonic Golf Club. How fascinating is that?
Yeah. Well, I know you mentioned Diana DeLucia. She's my producer, and she's very involved with her own project, Golf Kitchen, where she tells the stories and does recipes and highlights the chefs from great restaurants. And we were out in Long Island, and it turns out that Sabonic has their own beekeeper. So, I mean, it was a perfect tie-in. His name is John Carson, and it was just fascinating spending a couple of hours with this guy. I know more about bees than I ever would have known if I hadn't met him. And we were out there, and the bees are making honey, and he's telling me the whole story. And it's a very interesting job. You really have to know what you're doing. And one thing about John is he is so passionate about it. He absolutely loves what he does, and I felt it was really important to include him in the book because it's all about what people do for jobs and what they love to do. And John, man, he's a character, and I was glad that we were able to capture him at Sabonic.
And what an interesting photograph you have of him. Obviously, he has his mask on. He's holding this whole tray of bees. Where were you standing when you took this picture? Did you have to have protection?
I thought I did, but he didn't show up with any. So the intrepid photographer that I am, I was like, well, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make the picture. So it was kind of funny. I'm standing there, and Diana was with me. And she, and I don't even know what they call that canister that the smoke comes out. So she's pumping the handle on this thing to make the smoke come out. And the bees are flying around. And John is looking at the bees. And it all came together. It
was unbelievable. You really capture what this guy is doing. And he has said in his story that he believes humans draw an energy from nature. It's food for the soul. And boy, you really capture these people in these portrait photographs, and then in their own, obviously, handwriting. You also went to Montauk and talked to Chris O'Brien, a fisherman.
Right. And, you know, it was interesting because you were going to ask me how I meet people. Sometimes I meet them because I'm introduced to them. Sometimes I meet them because, like the guy that worked on the side of the highway, I drove past and I saw him and I wanted to do that photograph, or sometimes it's formal introductions.
You just stopped on the side of the highway to talk to this guy.
they're paving the highways in Connecticut, and you know it's at night. I know that it would be a good picture, so the highway department was flabbergasted of why I would want to take pictures on the side of the highway at night. But if you look at the photograph in the book, it all came together pretty well. But Chris O'Brien, we just showed up, and Diana was with me, and we just started hanging out at the bars after the guys came back from the day of fishing. I mean, they thought we were nuts. We obviously didn't belong there. Diana, she's from Australia. She's very pretty. She's like 6 feet tall, and I showed up, and you could tell I wasn't a fisherman, so they're very suspicious of who we were.
I would think. Yes, Diana is gorgeous, by the way. So they were thinking,
really,
what is going on here?
anytime I start this project and talk to people, they think I'm a salesman. They think I'm trying to sell them something because, I mean, I kind of maybe come off that way. But once they get the idea, so we sat down with Chris and I said, look, this is the book we're doing. I think it would be really cool to photograph a fisherman from, you know, Long Island. He had a great look. If you see his book in the picture, he looks like a young Hemingway. I mean, he's got this beard, and he's on the boat, and there's nets and stuff like that. So, yeah, once he got it, and once they figured out what we were doing, we got the go-ahead, and it was great to go on the boat with him.
Did you do it that day, or did you schedule it and go back to do it?
No, we met him that afternoon, we had a few beers, hung out, and I said, I will be back tomorrow because they start early. So I was, you know, up at 5 o'clock to go, you know, meet with Chris again, and the picture worked out great. But it's like, I got to tell you, Ann, it's like going on a field trip every day. There was you probably know this guy, George Plimpton. The writer,
sure.
He used to like immerse himself.
Right, participatory journalist.
Exactly. I think he was. Didn't he try to be a hockey goalie one time? And
absolutely.
He wrote a book about it.
Just a brilliant journalist, and I loved his whole concept.
The Bogeyman, I think he wrote because he was, you know, trying to become a better golfer, and he wrote a book about it. That's kind of what I do, but in little short spurts.
But so, what's interesting is when Diana interviewed you in this book, an interview with Michael J. Fiedler, it's typed. He didn't write it.
Well,
what's that all about?
I could have written it, and I do introduce each person with my own handwriting. So my handwriting is in the book a little bit. But, yeah, that was a little bit more of a standard approach with Diana's interview. So, yeah.
And you have this fascination with these classic pens. Can you write, and you have them photographed here beautifully. Talk a little bit about that interest.
You know, like I said, I've been writing for a long time. I tried my first fountain pen a number of years ago, and I just got hooked, and I didn't realize then the amount of variety of pens there are, the different styles. They really are like artwork. You wouldn't know it from looking at me, but I'm a huge nerd. I'm like the biggest nerd you've ever met. I go to fountain pen shows. The only thing I don't have is the tweed coat. I mean, I don't do that.
Oh, my God. You're too funny, Michael.
I love pens.
You love pens. You like writing. This book is perfect for you. Who most surprised you of all the people in the book? Who was maybe the big shocker? Somebody that, you know, revealed himself or herself to you that you would never have... figured.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite subjects in the book is Pastor Ashley Johnson. I photographed him in Hartford, in the north end of Hartford. I spent more time at church that one day trying to get a good picture of him than I've been in years. But he had some of the most interesting things to say. He was really connected with his community. And if the experience that I had with him went beyond just, you know, hanging out and taking his picture. He had a wonderful message, and I loved taking his picture, and just a great guy. And sometimes you just have really good experiences with quality people. If you get the book and you read Ashley's, Pastor Johnson's segment, he's just a terrific guy.
Well, listen, this has been such a great project. I'm so glad I'm a part of it. All the best with it. How do people order the Working Journal?
A Working Journal has its own website. You can go to working-journal.com, and the book is available there. And anybody that purchases it will get it signed with a very fancy fountain pen by yours truly.
And, you know, we didn't mention Marty Hackle is in it from the golf world.
Oh my gosh,
Mr.
Marty.
Fashion, he's
Love
in it.
Marty.
You have a couple people from the golf world in it, which is great.
I do. Bradley Klein, who is a famous golf writer, golf architect guy. So, yeah, there's some golf people in there. There's some sports people in there. If you like food, Jacques Pepin, who, you know, he's the original rock star chef. He is in there. So, yeah, some cool people and their own expressions of what they do with their handwriting. So it's a pretty good package.
Working-journal.com. Michael J. Fiedler, all the best with it. Can't wait till you come visit us again here on the east end of Long Island.
Anne, thank you so much. Have an awesome day and good luck at the game.
Thanks so much. All right, we're going to take a quick break and talk about that historic Artists-Writers charity softball game. But first, let me tell you that Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and My Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. That's DuneJewelry.com. And by Peak Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity, change your game. Peak Vision, PEAKVision.com. And by Peconic Bay Medical Center, the eastern hub for the world-class resources of New York's largest healthcare system, Northwell Health. Peconic Bay Medical Center, serving a 250,000 East End residents. Learn more at pbmchealth.org.
Let the winter be my station. I'll let the cold teach me what to know. That there might be somebody after me. Oh, I want it. I need it.
I'm Meg Noonan, host of Freeform Radio, inviting you to join me every Sunday from 6 until 8 p.m. for a lively mix of rock in all its glorious subgenres, including but never limited to classic rock and roll, American and British blues, glam and garage, punk and new wave, indie, folk, and country, plus a heavy dose of soul, funk, R&B, and more. So tune into Freeform Radio, where variety reigns supreme, every Sunday night at 6 on 88.3 WPPB.
Hi, I'm Gianna Volpe. I play music that rocks, invite you to East End events that rule, and talk with people all over our Twin Forks on The Heart of the East End, 9 to noon, Mondays through Fridays, on Long Island's only NPR station, 88.3 FM, WPPB, or online at 883WPPB.org.
I like the way that sounds. I'm about to do it for you. I like to break it down. This joint has got me open. Ooh, that's my favorite song.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria on this kind of a cloudy, foggy, very humid Saturday morning. But nonetheless, we're having a great time. And this afternoon, the 71st annual Artist Writers Charity Softball Game. Yours truly will be there for the Writers, probably pinch running as I normally do, although I can hit if they put me in the game. But joining me now to share in some of the great stories through the years is Juliet Papa, who will be the master of ceremonies, and boy, she's on the board. She's an award-winning reporter for 1010 Wins, the most listened to station in the nation, and she'll also be in the broadcast booth for the Artist Writers Charity Softball Game this afternoon. Good morning, Juliet. Welcome to Sports Interview.
Good morning. Wow, what a pleasure to be here and speaking with you, Anne LaGoria. I know I've seen you been quite busy at this game every year as well. They get you in there. We'd love to get you up at an at-bat as well. Let's
see
what happens.
I'm telling you. What's a girl got to do, right?
You got that right.
But I got the sneakers on. As you know, I love to run. So we all have fun. Listen, I don't play much softball. I played when I was a kid. I was on, you know, the girls' softball team. We had so much fun. But, you know, then I ended up going into all these other sports. And it wasn't really, you know, I really haven't played a lot of softball. But, you know, you just kind of, there are skills that you I guess, learn when you're a kid and hopefully return to. They don't go too far away. We all can play a little bit of softball.
You're an athlete, and, you know, I think some things, when you're an athlete, they just come naturally to you, and I'm sure you know the rules of the game. And so when you get out there, you know, it just happens.
It just happens. It just happens. And it's so great to see you out here every year. And how did you first get involved with this game, Juliet?
You know, well, they always play this pickup game on the weekends. And a friend of mine, also in media, said, you know, you should really come up and play. So, you know, for years I used to play in this weekend game, and it was a lot of fun meeting a lot of people. And I used to just attend the game on the artist-writers game at the field. And I got to meet some people there, and they said, you know, why don't you play. And of course, I'd get in an inning, because if it got really intense, you know, they were putting serious players into the game. And so I got involved, you know, playing an inning here and there. And then I said, well, gee, how can I be more useful to this game? Well, I'm an announcer and a broadcaster, and I just thought, let me use those skills. And I'd always been part of helping them put the game together, very grassroots initially, and Leif Hope, who's sort of the chairman of the board, had always helped him out. And I said, you know, you really need somebody to sort of welcome the people, tell them, the spectators, what's going on. And I, you know, just started doing that, and I guess it worked out from there. So we try to let people know there's raffles, there's prizes, there's ice cream, there's, you know, Snapple, there are plenty of things to do, plenty of opportunities for people to win prizes and just come and enjoy the game.
Absolutely. You actually have organized it. There's actually, this year it seems more organized than ever. There's actually a rundown and times and lots going on this afternoon. I love it. There's, and my buddy Pat from Hot Bench is throwing out the first pitch at 3 p.m., so that will be fun. So it's going to be exciting this afternoon.
She's coming along. I've known her well from some cases I've covered with her in Brooklyn, and now she does the TV show, which is, I think, one of the top-rated daytime shows.
Incredible.
And I'm sure she'll do well out there. She was practicing throwing.
Oh, was she? Oh, good. Yeah, so, I told her to warm up her arm.
Pat DeMango from Hot Bench. And so, yeah, we have batting practice starting at 1:30, so if spectators want to come, they can come and watch people, you know, get a couple of shots in and at-bats. And then during the game, we're going to have some entertainment. G.E. Smith was a guy, a renowned rock guitarist. He not only worked for Hall & Oates, but he was like the lead musician for Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
And he's going to be playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And he backed the Rolling Stones. He's done a lot of work with, like, major rock bands. So it's really nice that he's joining us today. And then in the fourth inning, we're going to have a fun run for kids who are at the field. We're just going to call them up to the home plate and have them run around the bases and just, I guess, see who wins. And then we're going to have more songs at the seventh inning stretch and some more entertainment for the crowd at the seventh inning. And we're really going to have a blast. Something a little different this year, and we just hope people come out. It's a little overcast, which is great for us because that means maybe it's not beach weather, so people will come to the game.
Yeah, there's always something going on. It's always so much fun to be a part of. And some of my top memories, and I'm going to ask you what yours are, but 14 years ago, my golden retriever, Skye, was a little puppy, and Scott, my significant other, brought Skye to the game. And, you know, imagine this gorgeous little golden retriever puppy, and of course, Christie Brinkley is there. So Scott loves Christie Brinkley. Who doesn't, right? So he goes over to Christie Brinkley, holding Skye, the puppy, to say hello, and my dog leans over and gives her the biggest, wettest kiss on her lips. And it was one of those things like, oh my gosh. And I actually captured the moment on a photograph.
Wow.
So it was so cute. But I thought, oh my God, I hope she didn't mind. But she loved it. She was so sweet and so nice. And so, you know, I'm sure Scott wishes it was his lips, but it was our golden retriever's lips. But anyway, and that was so much fun. And it's always fun to see Alec Baldwin. I mean, he always, sometimes he makes those cameos, and he does those promos almost every year for the game, right?
He's such a great supporter for the game, and even if he can't come, he will. Like last year, he couldn't stay to play, but he came, and we did an interview with him. And actually, we have some surprise celebrity guests coming to do some interviews in the announcer booth, which is really a table. So much for our technology. That's a table and a microphone.
Right, right.
And I'm sure you know that story. And we're very high tech this year. A table and a microphone, and that's about it. But it works out. And yeah, we're going to have some surprise guests come today, which will be great. And I think they'll be talking to the crowds and meeting and greeting some friends. And one of my great memories was actually a couple of times when President Clinton came to the game.
I was going to mention that, exactly.
He, before he was president and he was running and governor of Arkansas, he came and umpired the game. And they had him out there at the pitcher's mound, and it was a big sensation. And he had on these, like, plaid shorts. And he was just having a great old time, really didn't know a soul, and just really got into the whole thing. And then afterwards, this was just a couple of years ago, he's no longer in office. He just made a surprise visit, and I ran over with the microphone, as any good journalist,
sure,
reporter would do, and I got him on the air, and I got him to talk about, because he was just still walking, and I just asked him a couple of questions and how he felt, thanks for coming, and why did you want to be here today, and, doing great work, and you enjoying yourself here on the weekend, and he was great. And so we did a live interview as it happened, as he was walking, and he really did sort of like a walkthrough.
Well, you know what I remember about that game, and that was, I don't know how many years ago, but he shows up, and the entire, I think for the first time ever, the entire game stopped.
Yes.
For about 20 minutes while everybody got their pictures with him. And he was so, gracious and so friendly. And then he leaves and the game just resumes. I mean, it was one of those, it just stopped.
It did. Everything stopped because there was such a buzz in the crowd. Everybody's turning their heads, and he's got the Secret Service with him. It's like, what's going on? What's going on? And literally, you're right. It just stopped the game. It was great.
And, through the years, we've had some major leaguers. I remember when Jimmy Leyritz was on our team, and I'm like, dude, I hope we won that year. I can't remember, but I'm thinking,
right,
if the Riders can't win, you know, Jimmy Leyritz and John Franco and Joe Torre.
Yes.
I mean, they get some serious players.
Yes, and
serious,
when Leyritz came, they actually, every year, they try to, throw some fun into the game, and they threw the turnip that was disguised as the softball. And there's this great picture of him slamming the turnip, and he's this big muscly guy,
right,
and it just it just blew apart into smithereens, and it is a great sort of stop action photo of that ball just breaking apart. It's really good.
He came from California for that game. I remember him from he's on the West Coast. It was kind of cool and so nice,
Yes.
Very, very nice. And then John Franco, always.
And remember Yogi Berra? Were you there for Yogi Berra?
I love Yogi. I just adored Yogi.
He came, his son had come, but he came one year, came out to throw the first pitch, and that was another huge sensation when he came out. He's older at the time, but what a great sport. I think his book came out at the time, so he was doing some book signings at one of the local bookstores. And very, very sweet man, very gracious. I'm sure you've had the opportunity to speak with him.
Spent a lot of time with Yogi, playing his golf event. They still have his celebrity golf tournament going, although he passed years ago, and I was honored to have been invited to his memorial service. But, when I think of, maybe the top three sports personalities that just garnered more attention, and if they walk into a room or onto a field, Muhammad Ali, obviously, anytime Muhammad was anywhere in the city, and I had the honor of sitting next to him at Mickey Mantle's restaurant for a luncheon, but anytime he showed up at a dinner, there were lines and lines of people waiting to get his autograph. Jim Brown, the same thing. Anytime Jim Brown comes into the city. And then Yogi. Yogi was just, one of those just legendary figures that...
Right. Beloved. Really beloved.
Beloved, exactly.
Yeah.
And so when he, came to the softball game, it was just, again, one of those moments where everything kind of stopped and everybody had to, go and basically say hello and pay their respects, right?
I think that's true. People would go and say how much they enjoyed, you know, watching him play, or just knowing his story, or just, you know, his output as a player, you know, all his World Series rings. And he was always gracious, and his wife, Carmen, was always so gracious, very kind, and very low-key with people, just very lovely, lovely folks.
Lovely people, and a war hero as well, as he fought on D-Day. You know, he was in the Navy, so people don't realize that side of his whole story. But so through the years, talk about some of the other personalities that and memories, Juliet, that you recall.
Oh, I remember, well, some, obviously, before I got involved, Paul Simon, and he played, but he took a real tumble, I think, and I think that was the end of him playing for the Artists and Writers
really?
Game.
Really? Wow.
There was some injury, or he banged
into the fence. It does get a little rough, as you say, because these guys, most of the people who play in this game are very good players and play regularly, right? So it can get a little physical, to say the least.
I remember Alan Alda would come to play, and I'd sit there with him on the sidelines, and I'm like, wow, I'm sitting next to Alan Alda. And he was the nicest guy, very sociable, and we're chatting. And Martha Stewart, this was the best. She was up and coming, and she was really promoting her brand at the time. And she was actually came with this big basket of cookies. And, you know, they were all wrapped in cellophane, and she's giving them out to the crowd, which was brilliant, right?
Oh, my goodness, right.
So then she gets up for an at-bat, and she walks up to the plate with her basket. She puts the basket down.
Oh, my gosh. How funny is that?
And she gets up. I thought that was great. One year, there were cheerleaders on the sidelines. There was actually a group that were, I think they had letters for, like, writers, artists, you know, everybody had a poster, had a letter, and they'd flip them around, and they had cheers going on. So a lot of fun and a lot of sort of sideline humor that was going on. And I remember Marty Lyons from the Jets.
Oh, yeah, Marty.
He was smacking home runs. I mean, the guy, he's just this big guy.
Great
and
athlete.
Just hitting home runs over the fence. Jerry Cooney.
Oh, Jerry.
Pelé. From soccer.
Really? Pelé came. Oh, my gosh.
And
Pelé.
They had to show him how to hold a bat because he didn't play baseball.
Huh.
And they showed him. He got up, got an at-bat, you know, and they were easy on him pitching, but he never really swung a bat. So, but he was game, which I thought was fantastic.
What a great. So I don't remember Pelé coming. That's
interesting.
Yeah,
once. He came once.
Yeah,
but it was
course.
Just really a thrill,
what
you know,
to see him. What a
collection
of different personalities. What about some of the writers and artists? Who have you talked to from the both teams? That
We have, well, Ken Auletta has always been the captain of the writers team. He's a best-selling author. And he writes for The New Yorker. And in fact, I've seen him recently covering a couple of stories. So, you know, he's working on something else. And, you know, I've seen him in the city covering a couple of things that I've been at. And Mike Lupica, who's a renowned columnist and author as well. And
Mike's
he's very,
very
scrappy.
Intense. Very,
yeah.
Very competitive. I love it.
Very scrappy in the field and also a very good athlete. So, and he's always a star. Carl Bernstein from the Washington, formerly of the Washington Post. You know, now he's working at CNN. He catches. And then Walter Bernard. I have to talk about Walter Bernard.
Yes, I'm looking at all these posters that
beautiful,
he created
right?
that are in Dan's papers this issue.
They
incredible.
Are. He has designed original artwork for the covers of Dan's papers and also the posters, but he has also had renown in working for Time Magazine in The Atlantic and Forbes, and he has sort of redesigned when they've wanted to update format. He has helped redesign, and he has a book coming out called Mag, M-A-G, Mag Men.
Oh, wow.
And it's about his and Milton Glaser's career in doing all of this magazine graphic art. Now, Milton Glaser and he have partnered on many things, and Milton Glaser is the guy who designed the I Love New York logo with the heart, right? And he's very famous for his own signature design. So their book is coming out, and Walter has designed the covers in our logo for probably the past 20 years. And just as, you know, volunteer effort as all of this is, mm-hmm. you know, everybody volunteers to help out at the game and to, you know, do the events and get the raffle prizes. So our raffle prizes this year, I should note, anybody is coming out, are, among other things, passes for the Hamptons Film Festival in the fall, which is a great prize because you get to see everything. We have Mets field level tickets. We have New York Islander tickets. We have Broadway show tickets. We have tickets for Wicked. We have gift certificates for some local stores here and restaurants. So if you buy a raffle, you're really going to do pretty well. I think Guildhall events, there's tickets for Guildhall events. There's tickets for Bay Street Theater events.
Wow, so great raffle items. And you can buy them right there at the game.
You can buy them right there at the game, absolutely.
Julie,
I think you can even buy them online.
What is the website? Do you know?
It's AW Softball Game.
AW Softball
Game. Softball
Game,
right, is the website.
Right.
But come to the game and have a lot of fun. Batting practice starts at 1:30 and the game starts at 3.
At Herrick Park in East Hampton. And Julia, you've had such an incredible career and you're continuing to go, you know, just, I love the longevity. You've been at 1010 Wins for how many years now?
Oh, well, let's say a long time.
Because I started FAN in, 87? That's crazy.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I don't even, has 1010 Wins been around for even before that or no?
Yeah, 1010 Wins actually went on the air as All News in 1965.
Wow.
They went from rock and roll to All News, and that was the year of the, and that's what put it on the map, was the blackout, the November 1965 blackout. And that began Wins, let's say, you know, reached to stardom because everybody tuned into their portable radios to listen to what was going on. And because Wins was All News, everybody tuned in to hear what was going on and how it happened. And that literally brought Wins to sort of stardom as an All News operation. It was a mega event like that. So.
Wow.
And after that, you know, a lot of people tune in for, like, big news, breaking news events. You know, obviously there's so many other things now to tune into, but it's so immediate on the radio. And as you know, being a radio person,
sure.
you know, it's like we're live right now, right?
And there's nothing like radio. It's just so exciting to me all these years
mm-hmm.
later. And as you say, 1010 Wins is the most listened to station in the nation. And you've been a part of that tradition for a long time as well, not only 1010 Wins, but this softball game. And such a pleasure to have you on. What's your next assignment? Or, you know, that's the beauty of radio. You never know until
you
that
don't
day,
know.
Right?
Right. I'll know next week when I go back to work.
I love it. Well, I can't wait to see you this afternoon. Julia
yes,
Papa,
likewise.
Master of Ceremonies for the 71st Annual Artist Writers Charity Softball Game. She'll be in the broadcast booth. Juliet, really great work. I've always admired your
Thank
career,
you.
And I can't wait to see you this afternoon.
Thank you, Ann. See you later.
Take care. Juliet Papa, 1010 Wins. Well, I hope to see you out at the softball game. As we mentioned, batting practice starts at 1:30 and first pitch at 3 p.m. Thanks so much to Michael J. Fiedler, the author of Working Journal, and to our brilliant engineer, Kyle Lynch. Have a wonderful day. Be safe, smile, be happy, help one another. I'll talk to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Ann LaGorrie.